Good morning, Pete. How are you doing?
Good, Mitch. How are you doing?
Yeah, really well. Thank you for asking. So tell us, what exactly is this gap and how is it measured?
What's happening in schools is that teachers are teaching the children, and then periodically we check in with NAPLAN. So this is a snapshot, and the issues that I'm raising aren't caused by NAPLAN, but it's an incredibly rich way of understanding and trying to identify. What we did is we took these data and said, let's translate them into something that is easier to understand.
Mm.
What's the equivalent year level that each student is scoring at, and then how is that improving over time? And when we did that, we saw some, as you say, pretty alarming gaps. Two things were happening. One is that students who started off behind tended to fall much further behind over time. And one reason, one way to think about that is if a child is not reading well, when reading's not very enjoyable, they don't tend to do as much of it. This can absolutely be overcome, but it needs to be identified and it needs to be specifically dealt with.
Yeah, this new
system. The second one was,
Well, sorry, you go.
The second one was more about student background factors, that it really does matter where you come from on average.
Okay, and the new way of looking at the gap between students is you kind of liken it to cycling in a way, that a student is 2 years behind or 2.5 years behind. How is this a more useful way to look at the gaps between students?
Well, I love cycling, Mitch, but I don't do as much as I should. So if I go out riding with one of my buddies and they get ahead of me, if I'm on a flat course, all I need to know is how far behind I am in distance. But if we're riding up and down hills, then the speed changes all the time. And actually, that's not very useful. I need to know in time. What's happening in NAPLAN is that students, the way the test is set up, and this is fine, students get a lot of points when they start from a low base, and then it gets harder and harder to get points. It's like you're cycling up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't take into account the hill, then you can't easily see who's really catching up and who's not.
Yeah, and so why are we seeing this gap get worse over time, do you think? Are students' certain and particular needs not being met by the general classroom setup?
First, this is an issue that is happening in every country. The question is, students have different levels of ability and different levels of interest in different subjects. The point of school is to recognise that and support them. Every country is dealing with it, and some countries are dealing with it better. One of the topics that we addressed in a previous report was something we call targeted teaching, and that is to give teachers the time and the tools and the training so that they recognise where every student is at. So, Mitch, you might be ahead in your reading, and I might be struggling in my maths, but if we were in the same class and we were all getting taught the same thing, then that's not going to be optimal for either of us. You're going to be pretty bored and I'm going to be pretty confused.
Mm.
We can, when teachers are given the tools to identify where each child is at and support them, that's when the best learning happens. It also builds confidence. School's much better if you go there knowing that you're going to face something that is challenging but not too challenging, and that you make progress every day.
So you mentioned that was the subject of a paper released previously by the Grattan Institute. So how do we sort of implement a strategy like this, and is something like this already on the way for schools?
Broadly across, this has been known for many, many decades, that children learn best when the material is neither too hard nor too easy, but just about right. Broadly across Australia, unfortunately, schools and teachers are being left to do this on their own for the most part, and it's pretty hard to do, to identify where each child in a class of 20 or 25 children is. Now, there are some real bright spots on the horizon, and in New South Wales, where your listeners are, actually has a couple of the best programs. One of the Catholic dioceses, Parramatta, is doing a really nice job of helping its teachers to do this better. And the Department of Education has got a program to help some of the most disadvantaged schools, where this can matter the most, to get every kid off on the right foot in the first 3 years by doing exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm very hopeful that some of the right programs are on the way. Every child in every school needs that sort of targeted teaching.
And I guess the sort of cloud that's hanging around above Gonski can sort of, I guess, make or break this situation. Are you kind of worried that what might happen in this area?
When we talk about Gonski, the underlying element of that that is most important, two underlying elements. One is that schools get the funding that they need to help every student to make good progress. And given that there are different levels of need, then those levels of funding should be different. The second is that once we've got a transparent system, we ought to stop talking so much about funding and then start talking more about what's the funding being used for and is it really working. Now, the fact that Gonski is still a big political argument and there isn't a clear, transparent system is a worry to me. But in the end, it's what gets done in the classroom that matters. The last bit, though, if we want to change what gets done in the classroom, that does take resources. Change doesn't happen overnight and it doesn't happen for free.
Mm. All right, we'll leave it there. But Pete, thanks so much for joining us on 2SER this morning.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
That is Pete Goss, School Education Program Director at the Grattan Institute, talking to us about a new report which looks to sort of unpack and best understand the gaps between students in the classroom, using the analogy of cycling difference in time there, which is a great way to look at it in that sense. But some interesting sort of things to think about as your kid heads off to school before the long weekend.